godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh Pate joining us right now, National College Football Analyst for 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports HQ. He's the creator and host of The Late Kick with Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Josh, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not in the transfer portal, so I am the exception to the rule right now.
Most everybody else is. Most everybody else is right now. And we got bowl season coming up, and we got guys that are just going to sit. We got guys who are already in the transfer portal, so they're out for their teams. Josh, the bowl season outside of the playoffs, and we haven't seen it yet in the playoffs where a guy just says, I'm not playing because the playoffs have been. And with the expanded playoffs, it'll be interesting to see if we find any guys that are sitting. But it's really, really difficult now to handicap. If nothing else, I went to the LSU-Kansas State game last year at the end of, it was in January, right? It was like the JV team for LSU. Nobody was playing. And we're going to find this more and more and more now, aren't we?
We sure are. You did a really good job of teeing up what the retort is, though. The retort is, from the expansionist crowd, well, bowl games always were meaningless. Don't worry, we'll expand the playoffs so you won't have to worry about your bowl season anymore. We're just going to give you more meaningful games. And here's the problem. No one wants to admit it. A lot of people can't see it yet, but the ones who can see it don't want to admit it. You cannot expand your playoff. I don't care how many people disagree with me. You can't expand your playoff and keep the same value on making the playoffs. Right now, it is absurd for anyone to even suggest a player would sit out of the playoff. The Jackson Smith and Jigba thing's kind of different because he's had injuries. So I'm just saying healthy players deciding to opt out of a playoff game, no one thinks that's possible. And I agree with them in a four-team format. We are headed towards a very slippery slope on which there will be no recovery, by the way, once you're there. That's kind of the nature of a slippery slope, where you're going to have a kid realize a few years into the expanded playoff field, the lower seeded teams aren't winning. And once people realize the lower seeded teams aren't winning, someone's going to lock down a 9 seed and a couple of their players are going to sit out. It will start a trend. And at that point, there'll be no turning back because the veneer has been broken of meaningful games and the value on said playoff games will have been rendered moot because players with NFL aspirations will have exposed it. And at that point, what I'm saying will be realized, but it will also be too late. That is my biggest fear around this sport right now and expanding the playoffs is the deterioration of the value of playoff spots, leading to a kid calling the bluff of the powers that be in the sport and saying, hey, I don't think that's important enough for me to play in. I don't care what kind of ramifications you are pretending to put on it. I'm going to sit out. And at that point, I don't really know what we do.
That's a little bit what I'm concerned about. I think a six team where you have buys for the 1 and 2 really made sense. 8, I think probably all 8 teams stick around. But once you expand beyond 8, I'm kind of with you. I'm not quite as sure that you're going to have the sitting out, but I do think that it could come to that. I do think that it could end up being that. You certainly don't want to expand beyond that, but we'll see. We'll see. That is a concern once you get beyond the... Now, I know a lot of coaches were concerned that players were... And this has not happened that I've seen. We saw this during COVID where we had opt-outs, especially at Mississippi State, where players just quit in the middle of the season. They just quit. And I know there was a big fear around college football that players would start quitting over the last 2 games and 3 games of the season to, quote-unquote, prepare for the draft. But that has not happened as of yet. So maybe the NIL, and I know the other thought, Josh, was that NIL might keep guys playing longer.
How about paying the Bulls paying them to play in the postseason?
Well, it's their choice with NIL.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, the players, it's your, they've opened the door for you, right, Josh? Now it's your job to go get the money, not college football's.
Yeah, there are a couple of different schools of thought out there about this. And with the NIL kind of addendum attached to it, here's where I think we're going. I think we're in the very infancy of NIL. A lot of people who don't like it right now, and I don't like certain parts of it, I think may end up liking where we end up. Because I think a lot of the mess you see right now with the transfer portal and thousands of names being in there and uncertainty around rosters and how many kids can we take in recruiting, blah, 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 that's going to come to a crescendo. And it coincides, luckily, with these conferences signing these new billion-dollar TV rights deals. Someone's going to get smart enough in these conference offices to say, wait a second, why don't we just get in the game of NIL? And why don't we guarantee a certain percentage to every player in our conference just for playing in our conference? Here's the addendum that we tie to that. We tie minimum requirements for games completed or seasons completed, and you get access to that NIL money. And I'm talking about legitimate, like, 50, 60 grand a year NIL money, which, by the way, they can very much afford. I've done the numbers on it. If you complete certain requirements, that's the incentive right now that doesn't exist. So, guys, right now, $15,000 is enough to entice about 70% plus of kids who play the sport. Because $15,000 is a lifetime's worth of money in their eyes, because they don't make that right now. Only the select few make big NIL dollars. If I'm guaranteed, just because I play for Wisconsin or just because I play for South Carolina, that I'm getting 30, 40, 50, 60 grand a year as long as I complete certain requirements, that's the incentive for me to provide or yield to some structure being maintained in this sport. And I think that's where we're going to get. We're just on a bumpy road now that we got to go down in order to get to more smooth sailing. But I think that's where we're ultimately headed.
We got Josh Payne with us at Late Kick Josh right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did they get it right? I kind of feel like it should be Ohio State 3 and TCU 4. And I would have rather seen Michigan, Ohio State again, but the committee always stays away from that.
I thought they were going to go the other direction, actually. I was surprised by it. I thought they were going to say to themselves, we remember what happened in 2017 So 2017 and last year, we remember what happened when we set it up to where we could have an all-SEC national title game. Do we really want to run the risk of having one conference in the national championship game? I thought their answer would be no. I thought they would say, if we're going to see a rematch, let's suck it up and let's put it in the semifinal. So I thought we were actually going to see Ohio State and Michigan out there in the desert. I think they would have gotten higher viewership numbers on that particular game.
Yes, but sir. For sure.
They say, and I want to stress, they say that they don't think about such things. So, hey, who am I? Who am I to call them on their bluff?
And yet John believes, and probably rightfully so, that they did think about not playing Ohio State and Michigan because they didn't want to. I mean, to me, who doesn't want to see that again? Who doesn't want to see a rematch so quickly? You know, I wanted to see that rematch. And I think it's more fair, honestly, to Georgia. I think it's more fair to Georgia because I do think that
certainly from a
point spread standpoint, they'd be much, you know, larger favorites against TCU than they would be against Ohio State. That doesn't mean TCU isn't ultimately the better team, but I do think Vegas would see TCU. Clearly, they do. I've seen the odds. TCU to win the national championship is plus 1,200 right now. Ohio State, I want to say, is like plus 450. 500? It's not as much as you
know. No. I think Georgia did get screwed a little bit, Josh.
Well, you're hitting on something that I think should be a part of this, and that is either one of two things. Either allowing the one seed to choose who they play, or if you don't want to make it that overt.
I love that idea. I love the idea of you choose your own, you choose your own matchup. Yep. I love that.
Well, someone came at me the other day and said, oh, do you really think Georgia would want to fire up TCU with all that disrespect? And I said,
no.
I think they'd gladly take their odds against TCU instead of playing just the raw talent level that Ohio State has in round one. Like, I talked to some folks in the Georgia program at the SEC Championship Saturday, and that was after TCU had already lost. So everyone was in the press box speculating, who are we going to play in round one? And I can promise you those folks leaned heavily towards wanting TCU over Ohio State. So I would be an advocate of letting the one seed choose whoever they play.
Are there any bowl games that really intrigue you?
Not until I know who's playing. I know that's a boring answer, but I mean, I'm really sitting around trying to wait to find out. I think that Penn State game, like, I love that Penn State. It's a Penn State Utah, I think. I love that matchup.
That's nice. What about, you think Bryce Young plays?
I do not. I mean, with the way he exited in the Iron Bowl and, I mean, shed a bunch of tears walking off the field, I'd be very surprised if he played in that game.
Yeah, no, his Instagram post, no, that wasn't a real Instagram post. That was somebody did another fake post where he just, yeah,
Ball
somebody
sack?
Did a fake
Ball
post.
Ballsack did it?
Isn't it amazing? John and I were going through, Josh, this post about a story about
juice baseballs
and Major League Baseball. And immediately we have to, like, you have to Google, you have to really do research on the person doing it. It's so hard now. You got to make sure that these stories are actually have, you got to go search for multiple sources to find out if these stories are real or not. And I'm sure it's twice as hard with portal stories now or portal comments on, you know, for somebody like you, where you have so many players, so many teams, so many stories that get cycled in a single day. It's so much harder to make sure and double check the veracity of this if you're just trusting people on Twitter.
Yeah, here's the really sad part about that. Like, I'm not pro Ponzi scheme. I'm not pro telemarketing scheme. But at least the people who run those things stand to make money off of fooling people. The folks who make up fake stories are the biggest losers on planet Earth because they're fooling people for nothing. Like, there's no payoff for you at the end. All you know at the end of the day is you got someone to believe something about a player or a coach that wasn't true. Ha, ha, ha.
Right. Like hackers that just do stuff and they don't benefit from it. Why do you do, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you people?
I don't know. I wish I had the answer. Look, this is why in coaching search season, by the way, you learn. The Pete Thamels, the Ross Dellingers, I just wait on them to report something because there's a cautionary tale right now in the coaching world that TV anchor over in Mississippi who thought he had Kiffin nailed down. I'm halfway convinced Kiffin backed out of the Auburn job just despite the TV anchor.
I also believe that. Mm-hmm. I think that if that guy would not have come up with that, I think they would have had a deal done in the Heat. Kiffin had to fade the Heat, and I think he basically said, so they're going to give me free money and I can still leave at any point I want? Because basically he got a raise after losing three consecutive games.
Yep.
To end the season. And I think basically he just said, well, I have to fade this Heat. I have to face my players where I wouldn't have had to do it before. I'll take the raise, and yep, I can do it later if I want to. Because I do know, I've talked to somebody who said he does not like being in Oxford. I'm sure he'd deny that. But somebody who knows him well told me he is not, and I think maybe his wife is not a fan of Oxford.
No, he had that job agreed to in principle. I mean, I think that's pretty well known behind the scenes. And then there was some time between when the verbal agreement was reached and when Penn needed to hit paper. And I'll tell you something else I think Lane Kiffin did, and have it on pretty good authority that he did. I think he hopped in that group text, and I think he asked some of his peers, and I think he let them know what some of the conditions were from Auburn, i.e., hey, they're telling me I need Cadillac Williams on my staff. And I think some of his peers shot back, you're crazy if you enter into an agreement where they're mandating anybody be on your staff. And I think that he was already sort of on the fence about it, and some of the feedback from his peers probably also the incentive of being able to conveniently dunk on a TV anchor. Those sorts of things, I think, pushed him back over to the Mississippi side of the fence.
Mm-hmm. That's Josh Pate with us every week right here talking college football. Man, it's been great. We really appreciate it, Josh. Thanks so much. And let's continue it. Keep on talking about these bowls games and what's going on with college football.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh Pate. Josh Pate right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, let's talk a little. When we come back, how did they used to pay players in college football before NIL?
Paper bags.
And then some.
Cars.
We will talk about it on the other side right here. But first, let's talk a little tequila.
Let's talk about Maestro Dobel and what they do for you. Maestro Dobel is so good. And yesterday, I went to a restaurant. I was in there for a hot second and when I was having a drink. And they did not have Maestro Dobel. And I made a comment. I said, hey, you guys need to have a tasting with Maestro Dobel. And I know somebody who services this area who can get you locked in. And they said, oh, you know, I've heard good things about that. Yeah, the bartender doesn't handle the beverage He's not the beverage director. He said, I need to tell the beverage director, listen, if you go to a restaurant on a regular basis, you've heard me talking about Maestro Dobel, ask your restaurant why they don't carry Maestro Dobel and ask them if they would consider it. Because all they have to do is go have a, you know, a tasting and check out Maestro Dobel. And boy, you are sold. You can do your own. You can go grab a bottle of Maestro Dobel. And really, you might want to grab two, three to see the different types of tequilas, because what you're going to find out is the same thing I found out. I didn't realize how many different tequilas I liked. Really had no idea. When you have a really well-done tequila with 11 generations of tequila makers making this with the best ingredients and the best processes, you're going to get a smooth finish and a great flavor profile that really hits you in a bunch of different ways. Whether it's Reposado, which is really good with different types of cocktails. You can find citrus cocktails, which are pretty good with that. The Añejo, which I think is fantastic by itself as a sipping tequila. Or the Cristalino, which is one of their best sellers. You are going to find a tequila that is right for your taste buds and price point as well. Maestro Dobel is a premium tequila at affordable prices wherever fine liquors are sold. It's Maestro Dobel.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5.